sent you.
Hello, everybody. This is Madge Weinstein with a very special edition of Yeast Radio on Christmas Eve. I have with me my very first guest in the history of Yeast Radio, Ms. Patricia... Can we say your last name?
Go right ahead.
Patricia Cummings, which is a very, very hot name, if you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to talk about whatever Pat likes to talk about. She has some very interesting stories to tell, and I think I'd like to start by talking about her interview with Phyllis Schlafly. Now, Pat, when I hand you the microphone, you have to just talk into it like this. Like right.
Oh, I really hate things in that shape.
I know. Well, me too. What can you do? Just pretend it's a dildo, and then just try not to get it too far away or like this, because then the gentle audience gets upset and they cry and send me hate mail. So tell us about your Phyllis Schlafly business.
Wow. I was in Mobile, and I was starting a gay-lesbian, can we say that on the air, organization down there, and we were. I was involved in some women's rights things down in the deep south, when I was approached by a radio station who had, actually it was a talk radio station, and they had a woman by the name of Phyllis Schlafly who was against women's rights and was talking about how bathrooms were going to be co-ed and women were going to be in combat and all these really off-the-wall things. And I really... was pretty much knowledgeable about it. I was in the military, and I was in gay politics, so I figured, and I happen to have been a woman, by the way, so I figured, why not? And it was an AM station, need I say.
So did you eat her out?
No, actually, I had a lover at the time who I did eat out. My lover was much better than Phyllis Schlafly.
Now, I'm sorry, gentle audience. We only have one microphone here, so we have to toss it back and forth, so get over
it.
Football. Yeah. Now, what did Phyllis do after she was the spinoff from Mary Tyler Moore? Because she must have gotten very depressed. Remember Phyllis?
Yes, Phyllis, I remember her. Let's see now. She went into, I don't know.
Nursing home, I think.
She might have been into a nursing home. I know that one of her sons came out as being gay, I think. But, of course, not at this time. The time that I debated her actually was the time of Anita Bryant.
What's she doing now, Phyllis? No. She's still a bitch, right?
Oh, she's still a bitch, most definitely. Phyllis is. Actually, you can catch her now and then on some of those things like Hannity and those type Rush OxyContin limbo. Is that who it is? Mm-hmm. I think you can still hear her doing commentary against women and. Of course, now that women are in combat, we actually, and they are the ones that put women in combat, we're not talking about that any longer, are we?
Right. Now, what's the story, though, about this email you sent me from Arianna Huffington yesterday? I think we need to talk about this a little bit. Can you sort of summarize the article and then tell us what you think of what's going on, please?
Oh, my God. What was it about? Oh, about filibusters. That's right.
Right.
And how the Republicans don't want to do, they don't want to do filibustering. It's the only way that the Democrats can really get their point across is through the filibuster. It has to do with Supreme Court judges and being put in. They want to put in some more like Scalia and Thomas, so they want to stack the courts worse than what the courts are stacked. Want to roll us back to the 1950s, is it? Where a woman is seen but not heard. It's also, what else? Oh, a friend of mine who is a producer and editor for public television is actually the one that sent me that email about Arianna Huffington's story. It came on my Patriot 2, as a response to my Patriot 2 email to her.
Right. Now, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this Patriot Act, too. I mean, what's going on? How can the Patriot Act be any worse? I mean, I've told people on my radio program before that I've given up hope for this country, that it's just got to go all the way downhill, because I started losing hope with Reagan, and it's just gotten worse since. Now, my therapist says it started with Barry Goldwater, but I was on acid at the time, so I missed that. So tell us what you think. You've been through the system. You've been an activist. And I'd like to know, having what you think about it, having not been on acid while I was. And tell us what it was like and what you think's going to happen. What's necessary for change?
I agree with your therapist. It did begin with Barry Goldwater. These are the Barry Goldwater Republicans who were racist, homophobic, sexist, and they were pissed because Nixon won, and
but Nixon was a Republican. But he wasn't the right kind.
He wasn't the right kind of Republican that they really wanted in that office. They really wanted a very the radical right, which began taking over about the time that they did take over with Reagan. And actually, I was doing acid about the same time. I just wasn't in the military. I was in college when I did. But
I might have had my head in the bushes at that time, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I certainly do. But I was the women that I had my head in their bushes were actually very interesting and actually very powerful women who were very involved in what was going on. Get out of there! All those trash hounds, you know how they can be. But these are the Barry Goldwaters. They were pissed off. They've been chasing Reds for so long. It's the Red Scare. That, yes, it really will, I think, have to go all the way down before people wake up and realize that Rome is burning.
What do you think about the comparisons between... I've heard a few people mention, including Terry Cosgrove, who you know,
yes,
the abortionist, and my therapist, and several other people who have made comparisons between our government having reached this pinnacle of power to the point of insanity and the Nazi Germany and the Rome. Of course, Rome is ancient history, but the Nazis are not. Do you agree with these people? And if so, what can possibly be done? And is there really a risk of some sort of a Holocaust type of situation, or am I just being a paranoid because I'm a Jewish lesbian?
Actually, I'm with them. And yes, I do know Terry Cosgrove. I haven't actually talked to him in a while. I've actually shot some work for him. And the personal pack. Yes, pro-choice, as opposed to anti-choice. Let me see now. What else did you say about that Hitler, Nazi Germany? Well, considering Bush's family is involved, but the Bush money came from Hitler, I would say that it's a very apt...
That's true. I forgot about that.
But what's actually, yes, it did. Two of his grandfathers, Walker and Bush, and he carries both names. George W., meaning Walker, and I'm with them, that is. Let's see now. And we are already doing the Holocaust. If you think about all the Muslims, now it's a reversal. If you think about all the Muslims that are being killed in Iraq, that is a Holocaust. If you think about the Muslims being killed around the world, it is a Holocaust. I'm almost...
Guantanamo Bay is a Holocaust. It's just a difference in numbers, right?
Exactly. It's a big difference in numbers. And actually, the numbers are getting closer and closer these days. The only thing we haven't done is we haven't built the ovens yet.
Right.
We got the gas. And we're all set for it.
And knowing this country, they'll probably hire Sarah Lee to do it.
Yes, they will. Sarah Lee. I actually know her.
And you know what I was... Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what I... Did you read that there was this Sarah Lee executive that was found dead, frozen in his car, like several months ago or something? It was the strangest story.
Wasn't that just recently? And wasn't it actually carbon monoxide poisoning?
I thought he was frozen. I'm sure there was something about him frozen.
Actually, he might have been like one of his cheesecakes.
Yeah, seriously, he was frozen. Now, I remember thinking, why would he be frozen in winter, or summer rather? But there was a reason, and I just can't remember if there was something that made sense. Like maybe he was in the walk-in cooler and he got his face in some prune cake.
Or some prunes cake.
Yes. Now, going back to this, it's terrible to go from prunes to vaginal yeast to, I have to say vaginal yeast because this is yeast radio, at least in passing.
You need some yogurt if you got vaginal yeast.
Right.
Plain yogurt.
That's, did you know I made a video called making licorice flavored yogurt?
I saw that. Wow, very interesting.
Now, somebody asked me the other day, because apparently I've become the expert on yeast infections, somebody asked me... He said, Madge, my dog has a yeast infection. What should I do? And I said, feed him yogurt. He said, no, you can't because yogurt's bad for dogs. Now, I didn't know that because I stick yogurt in my vagina and let my dog eat it. But so I said, stick a tampon. No, wipe it on the – what do you think about this? I don't want to lead you in your answer.
I would say that you would possibly put it on the outside of her little vagina underneath there.
Because there's lots of bacteria, and bacteria eat yeast or what?
Well, yes, bacteria loves yeast, and if you actually have a yeast infection, it means that you have bad bacteria in your system rather than the good yeasty, the good kind from yogurt. And, you know, the two Y's, yeast and yogurt. You can really remember it early, easy.
Speaking of yeast, we'll go back to George Bush. And, oh, gosh, I hope I'm not dropping my goddamn... Oh, no, we're all right. I thought I dropped my chazarai. Anyway, I wanted to talk about it. Now, there's this guy who's I've seen on my weblog, and I can't remember his name. His last name is Bateman, but he was saying, and now I didn't see this speech the other day, his press conference, because I can't watch that horrible thing on the television.
Oh,
it makes me
either crazy.
But somebody, this guy saw him, and he said during the middle of the press conference, he bent his head down and whispered some strange mutterings to himself. And it wasn't clear, but this guy, Bateman, seemed to think he was saying something to the effect of, be with me now. In the middle of the press conference, did you hear anything about this?
I haven't heard anything about this, but I would think that he would be trying to talk to his little man, because nobody else will talk to it.
You mean his penis?
His penis, yes. Maybe he was talking to his penis.
Don't you have a feeling his penis has been neglected for a very long time, from pretty much the time it was determined that he would be a male, when his creator evidently decided he should have a very small one?
That's true, probably. I wouldn't think about it. Yeah. Probably got a little dick. That's why he's got to go with a big stick to the rest of the world.
Do you think he's stupid?
I don't think he's smart.
Do you think he's an idiot?
Blathering.
I do too, but you know, some people who I know and respect seem to think he's not stupid, that he's cunning and all this. I think he's just a moron.
I agree with you.
Oh, good. So let's see, what else?
The one that's smart is Karl Rove, and all it is, and it's really not even Karl Rove. It's like they've got really good somebody who did really good PR. I actually saw his PR person do an interview on TV on like 60 Minutes or something, and I was very surprised that he was actually upfront and honest about how they just all they do is find key words and phrases that make people want to vote for them. They just know how to do ads, you know. It's just a good PR person, and that's really what Hitler had. If you think about it, the woman that did Hitler's movies was wonderful at doing PR.
And we had the Passion Plays with Hitler, and we have the Passion Plays with Mel Gibson. I mean, you know, it's very spooky, and people are so goddamn dumb. See, I've narrowed it down to the fact that, and because I'm trying to figure it out, and who can really figure out this shit? I mean, I can figure out that there's crazy people in the world. What's hard for me to figure out is why people follow them. And I think it comes down to an inability to see reality. I think it comes down to people that live a plastic existence. And I don't understand why.
Because reality is too real. Because you really have to... If you go into reality, or if you have somebody else do your thinking for you, you don't have to. Plus, if you look at this society today, they are living on plastic, so they're overworked. They really take very few vacations. They spend long hours at work. Their children suffer. They're both out working, the husband and the wife, because they have all these things. I mean, even my mother, when I was a child, didn't work. As I got older, she did work, and... when I would talk about how she didn't really love me, what she said was, "Of course I do. Look at what I'm buying for you. Look at all you have." And it was, to me, it was like, "No, look at what you're not providing. You know, yeah, you give me these things, but where's the love?"
Right. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Growing up in the suburbs of Indiana, it rings a lot of bells. Well, you know what scares me? It's the way I've been thinking, because, of course, I'm sorry to keep mentioning my therapist, but I do pay him $100 an hour, so I have to make him relevant in my life. But I was telling him, you know, I understand why these people hate us, because as I was talking to myself on Yeast Radio the other day, and I was describing the way I feel for these Americans, I realized that, and I was just starting to go into it before, where... You know, that there's just not reality, that they're basically just these drones that don't even exist, that they're sort of...
Worker bees?
Yeah, that they're just sort of robots, and that they just have no thought going on in there. And I caught myself, and then as I was listening to myself talking about it, I realized I'm dehumanizing these people the same way Hitler would dehumanize Jews. And I'm thinking to myself, now if I'm an American citizen doing this, imagine how these foreigners feel who get the short end of the stick. I mean, I have the benefits of being a citizen. I get the lack of health insurance, the lack of security in old age. I get all these wonderful benefits. But these people are living in caves. Can you imagine how they feel about us? It's unbelievable and incredibly obvious, don't you think?
Incredibly obvious. I mean, it's so obvious. All you have to do is look at how, what are they? They just started bringing people back to Fallujah again, and that's around the world. We just bombed the heck out of them, and there were very few of them that came back, and the ones that did come back looked at what we did to them and bombed them back into caves again instead of into their hovels that we assume they are living in.
It's such a mess. I mean, who can even... It's so hard to even think about, let alone predict what could possibly happen. I mean, it's just seems too overwhelming.
I almost think that we could start calling this a world war.
I think so, too. And it's like, come on, people. 2,000 people died. Yeah, it's terrible. But the real issue here is they were 2,000 rich people. They were 2,000 people that would vote. In their, and we've killed... Thousands. We've killed at least 10,000 Iraqis. I know that for sure. It's probably a lot more than that. I'm being very conservative. Not to mention our people that have been killed, and I'm so goddamn tired of hearing them say how many Americans were killed. Well, what's the damn difference between an American and a, you know, Iraqi or any other citizen?
But that's how they're allowed to carry on. What they do is by desensitizing us to other people and building us up as Americans. And actually, the world doesn't see us as Americans. The world sees us as the United States. If you travel, and I know, Madge, you've done some traveling in the world.
Sure.
They don't. When they talk about us, they don't talk about America. To them, America is Canada, you know, South and Central America. We're just the United States. And anyhow, our leadership whips us up against other people so that we will be blinded to the humanity of us all, and they can, so that we're allowed, that we are able to go in there and wipe them out. Unconsciously thinking them, and consciously thinking of them as animals rather than as what they are, God's gift to us, you know, to each other.
Right. I mean, what's the difference if somebody was born in this country or that? I think it all comes down to racism with these people. I don't care about Cunt Delezzi Rice and Colin Powell or whatever the hell his name is, all these patsies, these
Uncle Toms?
Uncle Toms, thank you. I mean, it's just... anyway, what do you think? Is there hope? Is there anything we can do, or should we just watch and eat popcorn?
Well, I think there's hope, but I'm going to sit back and eat popcorn myself and watch and just hope that I stay away from the fireworks.
Sounds good, and I think we should also have some pumpkin bread.
Oh, pumpkin bread, yes, made with nice roasted pumpkins.
And whipped cream.
Oh, you know that whipped cream. You can do so much with it. And if you haven't had the joys of whipped cream, you need to find someone to spread it on and lick it off.
Sounds fabulous. Well, on that note, it's time to end the Christmas Eve celebration of Yeast Radio. Thank you very much, Pat, for being my very first guest.
Oh, thank you, Madge, for having me and having me.
And thank you so much for that beautiful purse that Pat brought me. She went to the LunaFest. This isn't a joke. This is real. She went to the LunaFest and brought me the most beautiful zipper bag that says Woman of Luna on it. And I'm going to treasure it always and keep my sunglasses in it for when I do my little stories on the stage. So thank you.
You're welcome, Madge. Have a wonderful season.
Thank you. Your season should be as well. Nice. Goodbye.